You're listening to Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and this is Heritage Radio Network, today at Roberta's Pizza. It's Memorial Day, so happy Memorial Day, guys. Hope you're enjoying the day off in the park, at the beach, having a barbecue. It's a scorcher, too. This is only like 82 degrees, but it feels...
It's hot.
Super hot. Today's show is brought to you by Hearst Ranch. They are the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. So check them out at HearstRanch.com.
Delicious.
Good stuff. Have you had them before?
I've had their steaks.
Okay.
And they are fantastic.
I love all these new meat purveyors that are sponsoring the show. It's really interesting. So this is that was Darren Bresnitz.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, also known as DJ...
Terry Diabolic. But no DJ, just... Terry Diabolic.
Oh, sorry. Okay, that's your not DJ name.
Well, yeah, I picked it before I really considered myself a DJ.
Okay.
And once you pick your DJ name, once you pick your stage name, that's it.
That must have been an awful long time ago, because as long as I've known you, you've been a DJ.
It's an old nickname from college, from like 2001.
Okay.
And then I started playing records back in 2004, 2005, when I was living in Austin.
Okay.
But once you pick it, you know, it's like a nickname. It's like you just can't. Do you ever have a nickname growing up?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kathy.
Yeah, I'd like D.
That's a nickname in itself.
Wait, Kathy's not your name?
Catherine.
Oh, Catherine. Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, once that nickname sticks, it's good to go.
Right on.
But, yeah, thanks for having me.
Totally. No, thanks for coming on air. Darren, you do a lot of things. Let's just start with the first. You're a DJ now. Finger on the Pulse.
Yes.
Is your DJ duo.
DJ duo, and then also Punches, which is our DJ trio, or production trio. It's my brother, Greg, a.k.a. DJ Never Forget, and our really good friend, Alan Astor. And we make like disco music and do remixes and things like that. And we're actually about to go on tour in Europe.
Oh, wow.
We're going Congrats. Copenhagen and Barcelona, Madrid, Nice or Calvi, and some other places, Paris.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's good. It's been a while since we've been there. And the last time I was there was November of 2009 or 2008.
And you guys are always on the road, though, around the country.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, I used to travel a lot when I worked for the Food Network, for Throwdown. I was really on the road. I was on the road like 1 week a month, which was a lot of fun. A great thing about working for the Food Network is that they really do go above and beyond to find the best food and people in the country. And so, you know, you'll go to like, I don't know, Saratoga Springs or Springfield, Illinois, or just... You know, you go to your LAs and your New Orleans and your DCs, but you also get to go to the really great pockets of American seafood that you would never go to unless, you know, someone
was cool.
Sending you out there.
That's really neat. And who does the... So Darren was the producer of Throwdown with Bobby Flay, if you guys recall.
I was the associate producer.
Associate producer. And then you're the producer of Dinner with the Band, which was started out as an online show.
Mm-hmm.
Got picked up by IFC Channel, so mm-hmm. It's currently in its second season.
Technically, it's still the first season.
Oh, okay.
Let's not forget the role you played in helping us research.
Oh, thanks.
Kathy was wonderful. Kathy joined us for the first 6 preview episodes before she got too busy writing her own book and doing her own thing. But she helped us build a lot of relationships with like D'Artagnan and Fleischer's and things like that. And we are
food purveyors,
which has been great to really, you know, a lot of.
Sangley Farms.
Sangley, fantastic. And yeah. Brooklyn Grange, we're sitting in and sweltering under the the hot.
There's no AC in here in the soundproof booth right now.
But, you know, one of the great things about having our own production company and working with IFC, who has never really done like a real cooking show before, is that there was a lot of freedom of what we could do. You know, the Food Network... is really good at making a very specific type of show, which I love working on. And so it was a challenge to go to IFC where there weren't that same sort of structure, and seeing like what we could actually build and get away with, successes and some.
You built a great kitchen.
We built a great kitchen. We built the Rising Tide Studio, which was fantastic to, you know, really look at the cost of renting a studio and building a set and then storing it, building it out again, transporting it, versus just finding a raw space and building a studio. And
it sounds a heck of a lot more efficient too.
It does. I mean it's
time, resources, energy, yeah. You know, stuff.
I mean, you know, living through it, I don't know how much more efficient it was, especially, you know, when you're like, you're like, you know, having to overlap production work, pre-production work with sawdust and construction and things like that.
Painting, yeah.
But now that we have the studio, especially for the second 10 episodes, we were able to be producing and running upstairs and have Pablo Muniz, who's our culinary producer, and Sam Mason, who's the host, and Akiko Mormon, who's your partner in crime from time to time, be testing recipes downstairs, and we could be writing and testing recipes in the same room, which is just, you know, a luxury at times. It's not like, okay, well, we're in this office, and you call me in, and you tell me, and, you know, they can shout up to us and like, oh, you know, these rice cakes aren't working, or, you know, I don't know if we're going to have time to poach these eggs. But going back to the food relationships you set up, one of the great things about it is that, you know, Greg and I really believe in working with like local and sustainable food, and because we weren't tied to any, I don't know, and any so, previous sponsors like that.
Like IFC didn't have a relationship with Cuisinart or whatever.
We were able to, well, thank you to Cuisinart for actually helping us.
Oh, wow, the there kitchen. We go.
but yes, like because of that, and so because of that, we were able to source, I would say, 80 to 90% of our food locally, and then in return be able to support, you know, Fleischer, Sang Lee, Brooklyn Grange, which really meant a lot to us. I mean, first
that
off,
that was so really fun.
It was a lot of fun. The product is great. It's a great company. And, you know, to be on TV and actually be using it, and it's not this like scary sort of like, oh, I don't know if I could go to a farm and get this. Like, I don't know. It's sort of like, no, you know, it's like, look, if you live in Wisconsin, you live in California, it doesn't take much research. You just got to put in a little effort to find out where the green market is or where you can order food. You know, obviously, there are great supermarkets out there, you know, I mean, but it was great to really work with these local purveyors and get as close to the farm as possible, short of like going out and like hacking out a rib from a cow.
Yeah. Somewhere. And you know, the location was great too. The studio is in Williamsburg, and I remember, I think when we were shooting the first episode of Dinner with the Band with the Jerk.
Oh, Le Savoy Fab, yeah.
Le Savoy Fab was the band, and Jerk Chicken was the thing. And you know, like Pablo was like, we need some more peppers to like, you know, kind of fill this nice scene with. And I just went up to the rooftop farms in Greenpoint. Yeah. I got these great peppers. They're beautiful.
It was definitely awesome shooting the first 6 episodes in September and having that option. Shooting the remaining 10 in February proved a little difficult at times because there wasn't as much like fresh stuff. But we still managed to get through. You know, it's I mean, and you
and
know,
you're
this
still
well.
Working with these farms and still working D'Artagnan with these farms and Fleischer's.
Still working with them, and you know, I mean, especially, you know, working with you and things like that, and also your book, you know, it's about building a community, and it really is, you know, you just sort of got to start taking the time and taking the effort to really put your money where your mouth is, or put your effort where your mouth is, or, you know, put your mouth where the local food is, and, you know,
cool.
Putting your mouth on a lot of stuff that comes with, like, locally sourced food.
That's great that you got to do that for today. I'm really glad, I'm really proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, and, you know, the response has been really good. We, you know, we had 2 new episodes premiere a few weeks ago, the Rufus Wainwright episode, and then we had 3 episodes from the previous season, and now we're back, I think that starting, I can't remember if it's tomorrow or a week from tomorrow, but we start with 8 new episodes, starting with the Mountain Goats, and they make cauliflower steaks.
Nice.
Which I don't know if you've ever had cauliflower
steaks. That sounds like a Serino type thing, no? Where you kind of brown it, you slice it in a really big piece, no?
Yeah. You sort of do a cross section. You can get about like 2 or 3 steaks.
Exactly.
And you cook it, and then you do, you know, like I think we use the scraps to make a puree with argan oil and white chocolate.
Ooh.
Wow. Which I'll tell you right now, as hot as it is today, that sounds a lot.
That sounds
a lot
really good.
Better than meat. And, you know, more than any other vegetable, cauliflower takes on this really beautiful, like sort of even caramel flavor when it roasts. It's like a little sweet.
It definitely does, yeah.
And I haven't tried it with broccoli, but I have a feeling that I don't think broccoli would hold up in the same way.
Broccoli, the florets are very different from the stems.
Yeah.
So they crisp up nicely.
They crisp up, but
stems not so much.
Yeah, I mean, you have a definitely more consistent I don't know, texture
with the cauliflower.
But I've had fried cauliflower, and that's just that, like, that's just as delicious.
Yeah.
But so it's good. So we're doing that. We're doing, you know, we you know, the process behind every time you approach a television show and you look at what type of food you're going to do, especially a cooking show, you know, you start with the ideals of the chef. What's the chef going to make? What's their food? You know, what is their ideal? And then you sort of find a common ground between what's also accessible. So many of these chefs on TV are chefs and just could cook circles around the at-home person and has access to knowledge and ingredients and equipment that just, you know.
Hey, that's not true. Just kidding.
It's not. I mean, Kathy, you're obviously not the normal example. But, you know, most people at home, like, while they're avid cooks, it's just like, if you just, you know, if you go into, like, a normal kitchen, you know, you're going to find, like, you know, not everyone has a sous vide machine. Not everyone has, you know, like, 12 burners, you know. You know.
Yeah, Sam is a little high-minded, you know, technology.
Exactly, especially with Sam, he, you know, he definitely falls more into the molecular gastronomy stuff. And, you know, if you're not careful, you could just really just, you know, it's like powders and gels and
things. If you don't curb him a little, yeah.
But so then, you know, once you find, like, a common ground, you know, the great thing that we found about Sam is that it wasn't so much about how far you could take food in making, like, you know, bone marrow tapioca balls, but it was just like, what are the different flavor combinations that you could put together? And things like making, you know, for Murder City Devils, we did, you know, gourmet burrito, and then we had, like, goat cheese in it. Ooh. With, like, chorizo, and instead of refried beans, we did refried lentils. So it's sort of just taking a play on, like, your normal dish, especially since a lot of the dishes and food that we draw influence from are from stories from, like, the bands on the road. Like, right. Murder City Devils love burritos in San Francisco. So we go, okay, how do we take a burrito, make it more special, and then what's, like, the Sam twist? And, you know, that's how we sort of make these dishes. But that's, you know, that's one show. A lot of times it's really just a culinary producer, and the chef that's coming out with ideas. That's why it's great about doing with the band, because you have these bands who have these, like, crazy stories from the road, and that's, like, where we pull these dishes or the idea of a dish from.
Dinner with the Band has some great recipes, I gotta say.
Oh, you should see. Well, my favorite one.
The highlight next to the music.
You should. Coming up, I think it's the second to last episode this season, we did Avoir Simone, and they love bibimbap, and they love breakfast, so we did a bibimbap, like hollandaise, like a Benedict.
Like an eggs Benedict, yeah.
It's with rice cakes and all these, like, julienne vegetables, beet kimchi, a soy poached egg, and, like, a miso hollandaise.
Oh, that sounds great.
I mean, it's awesome. It's like 1,000 ingredients. It's a little tricky, but the payoff is really, really awesome. I've never had a soy poached egg before, and it's...
What?
Yeah. You just boil a whole huge pot of soy, and then you just do the whole poaching thing.
Yummy.
But it's good. You know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, especially on this show, to really get these basic things like a Benedict, a burrito, you know, a...
Go higher in a bond,
and then go above, like, and beyond. What can we do just to, like, make it go
outside the
staple
box.
And I think people respond to it. I think, you know, a lot of this food is for chefs as well. Like, a lot of these dishes I see is, like, staples on menus. You know, if I walked into a place and I saw that bibimbap Benedict, I'd be like, I know what I'm getting every Sunday. You know,
yeah,
that and some, like, beet sangria.
No basic Benedict for Au Revoir Simone. Not at all.
No. I feel like you would like them. You like them, don't you?
I do, yeah. I met them here once we had them on the show. So we're going to take a quick break. Obviously, Darren is really into music. What'd you pick for this song?
We just got a official remix approved by Keeley, who, remember Block Party?
Yeah.
He's putting out a solo album this June, and the first single is Tenderoni, and we actually got an official remix of this. So this is the official Tenderoni remix.
Great. Be right back.
We'll be right back.
back on Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and that was some uplifting jams brought to
summer
you.
Summer jams.
Summer jams, chosen by Darren Bresnitz, our guest today.
And that's from my disco crew, Punches.
Punches is the name of his disco.
You know, we're actually playing in New York June 12th at 88 East Broadway. You ever been there? It's like a dim sun restaurant.
That place on Canal.
East Broadway.
Yeah.
And it's us and Holy Ghost and Classics and Jessica Six. It's going to be a barn burner.
That's going to be crazy.
It's like our send off before we head out to Europe. So.
Damn. Nice.
Come out. I'll put you on the guest. I'll put you on plus one.
All right. I'll come by. So, we were just talking a lot about the food on the show Dinner with the Band, which Darren produces, directs. And, you know, I got to say, one of my favorite things is, like, just going to, like, you know, the after party or, like, the staff, you know, family meal. And, like, you're, like, making some, like, pork.
Oh, yeah.
Or something crazy. You just put together. I mean, chicken wings last time.
Oh, yeah. Great. You know, this is one of the great things that I've really loved about cooking, especially having this Rising Tide studio, this culinary studio we have, is that, like, now we have a center that we've always sort of wanted of, like, doing dinners and cooking and things like that. And it's great for the winter, but in the summer, as you know, we do these barbecue series, and we actually worked together in the past. I think we've actually done three together in different variations. We did the one, this is our third year now, and you did that second one.
Yeah.
With Michael from Razor Shine Knife and Mark from Whisk and Ladle.
Yep.
Which, thank you very much for writing about it in your book.
Yes.
I really appreciate it.
It is recalled in detail.
It
in
is.
In graphic detail, because I cut my finger.
Yes. Yeah. I can't remember if I remember that you cut your finger.
There was so much going on.
It was crazy. Because that was our first one. You know, we the very first one was at Studio B, when it was still called Studio BBQ. And then Studio B shut down, and then we scrambled and luckily got in at Hope Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And then you and Mark and Michael did the very first one there, and it was phenomenal.
Nice.
And I think that was one when we were still DJing, and now we don't DJ them anymore, because it's way too much to DJ.
Now, you guys have a waiting list of, like, really great restaurateurs who want to be. So basically, this barbecue series is a different chef is chosen.
Different chef.
To produce a barbecue themed menu for really cheap. And it's a great party.
The whole idea. So, you know, we have our loving sponsors, Incase, who provide great, you know, products and things like that. They, you know, for all the new iPhones, iPads, etc., etc. And New York Magazine, who's our media partner, which is new this year, which is phenomenal to have teamed up with them. And we are doing six. The first one with the lovely Roberta's last month, and the next one is with you, and I forget your guest chef's name.
My guest chef is going to be John Meyer from Mrs. Kim's restaurant in Greenpoint. I've always, you know, done a lot of cooking with him, and I just always wanted to, you know, cook more with him.
I mean, the whole idea is to have these chefs. You know, we've had everyone from Marlowe and Sons, Dram Shop,
Sam Mason,
Calexico, and, you know, you have these.
You're having Frankie's Spontino.
We're having Frankie's Spontino and Andrew W.K. as the series finale.
Oh, and that's in August. That's going to be crazy.
So we're doing, that one is August 25th, and then we're doing it on August 21st. That's at The Yard with Fatty Q.
Oh, great.
Another one July 10th, Sam Mason, also at The Yard. The last Wednesday in July with Mile End, which I'm super excited about. And then you are June 16th.
June 16th at Good Company.
At Good Company. And the whole theory behind this is that, you know, we take these awesome chefs, awesome plates, and they're, you know, they range from, you know, you can walk into these restaurants and drop $50 to $100 a person, depending on what it is, and you come to our barbecues and you get a $5 plate of this food, and you get as many plates as you want, and it's free entry and cheap drinks, and Good Company.
It's more of a party, you know?
It's a party, but it's a party, a party, and it's about food as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now, Hope Lounge is closed, and out of the ashes is now Good Company.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I don't know,
same location,
same location, different name, great redesign.
Mm-hmm.
Total beach
feel.
Great back. Have you been since it reopened?
No.
It's awesome.
I can't wait.
They, forget what the name, they had some place out in Rockaway, and they had to redo their deck, and they had all this, you know, like, weather beaten, worn wood, and they just outfitted the whole bar and everything with this, like, really just beat up driftwood type stuff.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. And
so since Studio B, it was called Studio BBQ. Does it have a distinct name now? This barbecue series?
Blowout.
Okay, that's right.
Which
check out New York Magazine for mentions on that coming up.
Yeah, check out New York Magazine. Right. And then if you want information, you can write us at music@fotpnyc.com.
Or check out fotpnyc.com. Finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
You guys should have the info there.
And Freelance Whales are DJing your barbecue.
Oh, nice.
I think your eyebrows just touched your hair.
Are they performing live, right?
No, I think they're just DJing.
Oh, I didn't know they DJed too.
Doesn't everybody DJ now? So it's a lot of fun. It's really great to have this. You know, I always have to thank Justine D, who asked us to do the very first Studio BBQ and to evolve into this in about 3 years. It's really awesome. It's really just, it's like crazy just to have been able to work with so many chefs and get so many people involved. And just thankfully this year we did a little bit better planning. The last 2 years we would do a barbecue and
they're always on a rainy Wednesday.
Yes,
I remember that. Yes. It rained every single one.
And but this time at least we know, you know, we plan them out in advance. You know, before it was just like, oh, maybe we should do one. All right, we're gonna do one. Okay, oh, we got to book the next one. This time around it was a lot of just like, let's just get all of our six things lined up. And then just really promote all of them. And
sounds like from 3 years comes a lot of, you know, experience.
We started planning this in February.
Yeah.
I mean, which is totally insane.
I've never seen, despite the rain, I mean, there's plenty of umbrellas at this patio. I've never seen it not be totally packed and totally filled with the best food I've ever seen.
Yeah, sometimes so. I think the rain is a blessing only because it would just be totally rammed. I remember the Sam's one particularly was just like a hurricane on a Wednesday, and I couldn't believe how packed it was. But it's a lot of fun. It's you know, and then you know, the food service lasts like 7 till it runs out, and then we just hang out and drink until everyone goes home.
Good stuff. Good times.
So it's good. It's good. You know, it's just one of our summer projects, and
it's
then
one of your millions of freaking projects I can't keep track of.
Well, you know, and then we're also working on new ideas for cooking shows, which is always exciting. Just working with new chefs and working with new people, just you know, getting this idea of, you know, when you meet a chef or you meet a cook and seeing, you know, what an extension of themselves would be at a show, because a lot of times
on camera
yeah. A lot of times people or chefs or, you know, or any genre of TV, they're like, I just want to be on TV. I don't really care. Like, you know, a lot of people.
Do they say that too?
Not so many.
Hey, can you put me on TV? Make me look pretty.
You know what? No. Sometimes it's not as always as direct, but yeah, sometimes people are just like, or you know, some people are just really good talent. You know, they can just, they're just a good host, and it doesn't really matter what they're, you know, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but like, you know, they just say, put me on TV. But when it comes to cooking, you know, no chef would really open up a restaurant that isn't an extension of themselves. And I feel that the same should apply for a TV show. You know, why be a classically French-trained chef and do, I don't know, like, Japanese sushi show? I mean, I mean, I'm sure that you could, but, like, you know, at some point, it just sort of doesn't line up, and it just feels like a stretch, especially if you love...
Sometimes you gotta give up. No?
Pardon?
Ever have to, like, work with a chef and you're just like, ah!
We have, gone down the development road with a couple number of chefs, written, pitched, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, I think the one thing I wish that they taught me when I went to school for TV and all this type of stuff is that 90% of this stuff is failure. Mm. So much of it is failure. Gosh. And so little, I mean, I guess that's so much of life.
Yeah.
That like so much of it really just
so much
like,
of pitches, and same with the book industry too.
Well, I mean, how did you go through your book?
I don't know. It just happened.
It just happened.
I just woke up one day and all of a sudden there was a book.
It's a great book, by the way.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed reading it. You're a really good writer.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for populating it with stuff that happened.
Not that I didn't think that you weren't a good writer, but you were like a much even better than
sweet. Thanks.
It was really good.
Cool. All right, I got to pop the question now. Romantic date meal cooked at home, what would you make?
Oh, well, I would say for the summertime, your best bet is just to go to the Green Market and see what's available. You know, I actually cooked a very nice romantic dinner the other night for my lovely girlfriend. And I just made some, you know, like, I got some, like, fresh cheese and some fresh bread. I made asparagus, made, like, mini grilled cheese.
Sweet.
Some oyster mushrooms cooked in some bone marrow.
Ooh.
Which, with two
what?
Sunny-side up eggs.
Oh.
And then a couple of those Neiman steaks, which were fantastic. And then just fresh strawberries and champagne.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
I mean, and, you know, and that's the thing. That's the beauty about cooking in the harvest of the summer and the fall and things like that. It's like, you know, those baked gratin heavy dishes.
Forget it.
Forget it. Like, really just play up, you know, little olive oil, little salt, little pepper, you know, barely cook anything.
Can't wait
to
do that.
So that's romantic.
Tonight. It is.
It's, you know.
Strawberries and champagne.
Strawberries and champagne. Honestly, yay. And I mean, those strawberries at the Green Market, I think they even got a picture in the Times. Like, I think, I mean, they were some of the best strawberries I've ever had. They're just bursts of flavor.
Go run out and buy them now. So thanks so much, Darren, for being our guest today, my guest. And check out Darren's show. It's called Snacky Tunes. It's on, you know, every Monday here at Heritage.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Coming up.
And check out Dinner with the Band on Tuesdays on IFC channel.
10:30. And check out Punches, our disco stuff.
Check out everything. All right, we'll be back next week. I'd like to thank Jack Inslee and Nat Wiener and our sponsor, Hearst Ranch. See you next week. Love on you.